gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for life. Each and every day, Father, I wake up and to know that this world is in a mess and it's got worse and worse. But for me, Lord, and for many of us, I believe life is always worth the living. No matter the pain, the sorrow, and the thing that is happening in this world today. Because, Lord, there is a better home beyond this life. We know the world is sick. And it gets sicker every day. The environment being destroyed. There's no future for the next generation. Evil, wicked man, covetous man who think about the physical life, about their five senses, how they would enjoy their life with what they can gain, what they can get at the expense of others, Lord, and at the expense, oh Lord, of this planet Earth. We thank you, Father, to give us the gospel, to see the light. And we know, Lord, as the world gets more wicked and more evil, there is but a group of people that you call by your grace to see the truth, embrace it, and be ready for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of life that you have given us in this generation to understand that the truth must prevail. Because it will prevail. Whenever, Lord, there is a battle fought or being fought, even at this present time, the truth will triumph. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with your word because you are in the word. We ask that, Lord, you bless us this morning now as we approach thy word to understand the battle of life. In this time, we ask for your grace now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let us turn to the book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 1. And chapter 2, verse 1, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their bed. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And that is so very true, not just what the Bible said about those that are opposing the children of Israel, those that are opposing God's people and God's word, but out there in the world. Wicked people, when they lay down to bed, they will devise all kinds of evil things in their head. All the sins and iniquity that they will think of. Like those who will go out and kill those elephants for the elephant tusks. The rhinoceros for their horn. The manta ray for their gills. And all sorts. And they will devise also a thing for their own personal gain, for their five senses, that the senses of the flesh. And when the morning like this comes, they'll do it. They'll follow through. Now, I want to go to the book of Matthew chapter 22. That's our main text. Matthew chapter 22. But in chapter 21, if you look at chapter 21, what happened in chapter 21, then you understand what happened in chapter 22. In chapter 21, you can see that these religious Pharisees, Sadducees, the leader, they came to Jesus Christ when he entered into Jerusalem. And when he cleansed the temple, that is from verse 12 of chapter 21 onwards. In verse 13, he rebuked those who are by themselves. He said, my house will be called the house of prayer, but he has made it a den of thieves. And then those that are blind, others came to the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful thing that he did, the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were very displeased. And Jesus said unto them, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babe and suckling, thou hast perfected praise? Now this was the final week of Christ's life before he was arrested and crucified. And the Pharisees and religious leader just waiting. Of course, at that particular time, I mean, the story we know now, record, we know that this was the last week of Christ's life. But at that time, of course, you know, the religious people were already laying a trap to trap Jesus Christ and to have him arrested, judge him, and then put him to death. Then as you go right on down in verse 23, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority do thou do these things? And who give thee this authority? Now, well, you know, you know that these people who are religious people held up in the echelons of the system. They always think that they know everything. They have the power. They are alright. They are the one in control. And so, they are Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And the baptism of John, now Jesus asked the question, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or the man? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all that hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Which is of course a lie. Isn't it? They know the truth. And this is exactly, my brother and sister, all my years in the ministry. I came to the message something like 2 years later. The Lord let me face on this hearing of all this. Branham said, Brother Branham said this and that, and they build up all this doctrine with this court. And they go every direction. The Lord told me one thing. Either I take the Bible, the scripture as the absolute word of God, or I take the prophet. And God was telling me, do you want to take the prophet's court? I know you cannot build doctrine. You have no authority using Brother Branham's court or statement. So since then, in 1974 onwards, when I started to minister the word here in Singapore, my, then all these, you know, words went over to the other side, they heard it and started attacking me. And from America, from Canada, New Zealand, Europe, all the years through. My name is very well known now in the circle. Not just among Branhamism, but out there in denomination. Because when I left the church, my name already, from the Assemblies of God, how is it that the Assemblies of God link my faith when I believe in the truth and get out, it went over to the Presbyterian church. Yesterday I went and looked at my old folder. And that was it. My letter to a Bible student in Far East Bible College. You know Far East Bible College? It belongs to the Presbyterian Church in Singapore. Because one of the student, Bible students who was learning for his thesis wrote against Brother Brand, mentioned my name as well, that I believe in this, all misquoted, all twisted. And I wrote it back to him and to the lecturer, to the dean. Say, if you want to have a little discussion, let's come and discuss. But don't twist my word, don't twist Brother Branham's word. to make it sound like that's what we teach. They didn't reply to me. Then you have a UPC up there in Malaysia in KL. They too wrote against Brother Brown, misquoting all these things, the words. And I wrote it back to him. I said, be careful. I have the brother of mine bought my books, spoke against me. But when they face me, they do not want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about, you know, to show me I was where I was wrong. You think about this. And that's the reason why they keep quiet. When they cannot, not that they cannot answer Jesus Christ, whether from God or was it man. They just say, we cannot tell. That's a lie. Now let me tell you something. If I'm in any of, if any of you is driving a car, if I sit in your car, you break the traffic rule, you speed, and here comes the traffic cop asking for your license. And if you try to defend yourself, says, no, I wasn't speeding. But I know you're speeding 110 on a 90 km/h. And if the policeman would ask me, did he speed? What did I explain to tell? I don't know. I cannot tell. I will tell him he speed. You mark my word for that. It's time that we tell the truth, speak sincerely. When we start to defend our brother or sister, you defend them that is true when you are defending truth. You don't defend a lie. Right? On WhatsApp, somebody, I don't know, the profile put on there, tell the truth the first time and you will not tell the lie, whatever. I can't remember how it used to go. That's true. Tell the truth first time and the rest will all be okay. You will always be true. You tell a lie, you find that you convolute yourself and then you get trapped. So this year, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither can I tell you then. By what authority do I do this thing? You ask me the question, you answer first this question. If you can tell me, then I'll tell you. If you cannot tell me, then why should I tell you? That's wisdom in Christ. They want Jesus to tell the truth, but they won't tell the truth. So why would Jesus speak to someone who is always lying? Right? So, as you go right now, Jesus can talk about a parable. But what thing you, a certain man has two sons, and he said to the first, and said, son, go, work today in my vineyard. And the son said, I would not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Jesus asked this question. Whether of them to him did the will of the Father? They say unto him, the first one. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believe him not. But the publicans and the harlots believe him. And you, when you have seen it, repent or not afterward, that he might believe him. Oh, when Jesus took this parable, they realized that he was speaking of them. Huh? The first son said, no, I will not go. And he went. The second son said, I will go. But he didn't. So which one is better? Which one would the father bless and love? The first one. He says, no, but repent later on and go. And Jesus can say, you are just like the second, not the first. The publicans, you know what the publicans? The publicans are not the public, huh? The publicans are, it's a Jew who had taken the profession of being a tax collector for the Romans. And in Jewry, the Jews don't like this kind of, person. You're not supposed to go and work for the Romans and collect tax from all, the Jews. They are called the publicans. And Jesus said, these are the ones that will enter in the kingdom of God before you. Next parable. Here another parable. Now just guy preaching the parable, let them know. There was a certain householder who planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far journey. Wow, there is a man who owns a, you know, it's a husbandman who owns a farm, owns a land, and he planted vineyard. He has grape, and he dig a trough in so that he could get make wine. So he lent it out to somebody else to take care of it and get certain percentage out of the profit. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman. The owner bring it to the husbandman. Sent the servant to the husbandman that they might receive the fruit of it. The husbandman, the one who owns, who rented the place to work for the owner, took his servant and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. And when the Lord, therefore, out of the vineyard come, what will he do unto those husbandmen? The religious people said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in the season. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them. And when they saw to lay hand on him, they feared the multitude of people, because they took him for a prophet. Yeah. So the owner sent the servant to the husbandman who rented the piece of property to get the fruits and the wine, and they killed, and he killed them all. Finally, he sent his son, and they said, "Well, we'll kill the son as well, because this is the owner's heir. So we're going to take the whole things, which was his inheritance. We will take." So now, when Jesus asked them the question, when the Lord of all the vineyard cometh, what will he do to this husbandman? When the owner comes, what do you think he will do to this husbandman who rented the place? They said, you will destroy them. Destroy the husbandman. That is true. And Jesus said, have you never read? And he's quoting a scripture verse from the book of Psalms. The stone which the builder reject has become the head of Corinth. He was letting them know who he was. Huh? And then he's saying that in verse 44, whosoever fall upon the stone shall be broken. But if the stone fall upon that person, it will destroy him. Now the stone represents Christ, the Word. And it is important for us as sinners, even as Christians who have sinned, when we need to repent, we should fall upon the Word and cry out to the Word. You know what I'm saying? Like those who sinners who came to Jesus Christ, fell before his feet, fell upon him and begged for mercy. But if the stone should fall upon you, you'll grind into pieces. It will destroy you. And the religious people knew about it. Now there's such a hatchet plan because they couldn't kill, they couldn't get him at that time because the people believed that he was the prophet. So they retracted, later on they start to scheme a plan. And that's why we come to chapter 22 of Matthew. You know that these Pharisees, these religious people, they have been just been embarrassed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm looking at today's scenario, today's situation in the anti-message. You know, out there in the Brother Mike have done all those crazy interpretation of Brother Abraham's sermon book. And I always say this to people. You read a sermon book of Brother Abraham or hear a sermon, it's all within its own context, correct. But you cannot take something, extract a verse, a statement from this sermon, a statement from that other sermon, and try to build up a doctrine. You don't do that, you can't. You want to build a doctrine? You use this Bible. A little here, a little there to understand. And yet, not everybody can understand because it takes a revelation. You see, the argument about what authority do you have? So a lot of people without authority never call of God to be preachers, nor have no right to interpret the Bible. They try to interpret it. There are a lot of things you don't. Every time you take a Bible, you read any one of us, anybody out there. Take a Bible and read. The moment you read, they start to interpret in their mind. Obviously, you know how the story goes, how the situation is, like where and where. Yeah, that just going. Just like you read the storybook, you try to picture. That's your interpretation, right? Of the scenes. Is that all right? It's right there. But when it comes to the mystery of God, the doctrine of God, don't just simply take it and try to interpret. Oh, I see. Oh, God is three. He got three heads. There we have a Trinity. Or there's the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost, and you have one with the white beard, and the Son has a brown beard, and the Holy Spirit, it's a dove. That's how their mind works. That's the kind of mind. You're not authority to venture into it, don't venture into it. That's what I've been telling those many ministers out there in Philippines and other countries. You know? So, this virus was embarrassed by Christ. And we have, because of what the Branhamites did, the denomination now is causing a lot of embarrassment to the Branhamites. There are so many preachers in the anti-message have already left the message. Why? You know, because, I was just reading all that yesterday, the folder that I have. I kept all those folders, all those posts there before you have email. Okay, I even keep email for those who ask silly questions and I wrote them back. And this was a letter that I saw. Oh, I know this brother, it was back those days we corresponded, we tried to work together to get a message out. And all because of the question that somebody raised about the cloud. The supernatural cloud, that has become a problem. You see, the 28th of February, or was it March the 7th or something like that? And they said, Brother Abraham said it was 28th of February, but it was not the season for javelina to hunt them. So Brother Abraham went out there to hunt javelina, and he had broken the law. And somebody, and the men tried to defend him. And just was out there, working in the field on the Sabbath day, pluck the grain of corn and eat, and say, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, so the prophet of God was also Lord of all this law. What? Nobody is above the law of the nation. The Bible says we subject to higher authority, right? How do you do that? Our law is here in Singapore on the road, highway, 90 kilometers per hour. Is that right? That's the maximum. I don't think there's any faster than that. You try to drive faster than that, and you tell them, I'm a son of God, I'm above the law. And see what happened to you. That's not a way to talk like this. Another story of an African prince, a tribal prince. Back in the early days when the Americans went on it, Nick them said, took them back to America. And though he was a prince, he was a slave, he acted like a prince. Never challenged the owner of his life. He's told to work, he worked. He never grumbled. He called himself as a man, as a prince. Work, work. I'm in a situation, I was make a slave. That's alright. Work. God lifts it up. God will make a person, will debase a person. God can lift up, God can put you down. You see. So today we have a mess out there here. And I pleaded, I felt sad for those who have lacked truth. Because they are so confused over what? Over the supernatural cloud, over the healing, over the miracles. What are you looking at the miracles? And they'll be saying the prophet Baham is 100% correct. Never failed. So if he said the crowd was February 28th, it must be. Otherwise he lied. And then I will leak the message. That means what are you looking at? You must understand the prophet Baham was human. He was not supernatural. The foolish Branhamite. He was not a supernatural being. He was a natural being. Flesh and blood. Men who make mistakes too. No, Brother Gann. You blaspheme against the prophet of God. What foolishness is this? The only one person who don't make mistakes. Who is that? Right. And yet Christ, in all his strength, there is a moment of weakness in him. Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. Right? Because the Lord will die. Nobody wants to die. God never answered him. Because he knew that Jesus Christ knew the word of God, that he must fulfill the scripture. You cannot be the head of the corner if the stone is not laid down and buried. And my son, you know that, you have said, unless a corn of grain falls in the ground, it will not bring forth much fruit. I laid it down, I take it up again. That's your word, right? And you said that you are the son of God, you are a Christian, you better hold to that. And I know this word to be true. I know the message of the hour that God gave us to be true. Because we are looking at the message. We are looking at the word. We are not looking at the man's, you know, little discrepancy of words here and there. You build up all this problem. Huh. And many of these people right now, they believe, who reject the message, say that the serpent seed is a false doctrine. Huh. Serpent seed is a false doctrine. If you do not understand serpent seed, if you do not understand original sin, it came by a sexual relation between the serpent and Eve, then there's a lot of things you do not know about salvation. Huh? There are people that still believe that the giant did not come by the mixture of the two seeds. They say it's the angels, the fallen angels. They came and pressed into man, possessed man, and then have set you on the course with the woman of the earth and produced giants called Nephilim. You know, people like all these strange words. It's no wonder this science fiction got these funny, funny words. Right? Isn't it so? You know, the funny, funny words that the science fiction were used. So because the Bible used the word Nephilim because it happens to be a Hebrew word. These giant, wicked people. People who are not normal. How many people on earth that you have seen that are not normal? Have you seen them not normal? Is autism normal? Is it normal? You know autistic people? They're not normal. They small world dog. Have you ever seen them? You walk past them, something they go, you see what happened. That's not normal. Because something is happening in the mixture of the genes. Right? Well, somebody posed a little a joke on the Facebook. A child was asking, what do you get when you cross a centipede and a chicken? And he said, you get a lot of drumstick. And it was true, right? They kill the chicken, you get a lot of drumsticks though. But then somehow how the mind give you, you know, a little funny, humorous word. And so here, now, in verse 50, because these Jews now, they're conniving together, they study evil, they twist the truth, they pull their sly resources. Now, verse 50. Then when the Pharisees and took counsel, that's Matthew chapter 22, alright? You got it? Okay. So Matthew chapter 22, verse 50. Then went the Pharisees and took counsels how they might entangle him in his talk. Huh. You just think how the mind works. I mean, Brother Bram was open years ago, you know, how those 300, I think it was 300, a preacher, a woman preacher wanted to trap him about the Godhead. Remember the story? And when they came together, come on now, take a Bible, come here and tell me why I'm wrong. None of them stood up. But behind his back, they say he's preaching false doctrine. Just exactly right. Behind my back, they say all kinds of things. In the face, they don't sit on top. And yet they were twisted by what I posted on their website when I tell them, you better think about it before I expose you. There was a brother here in Singapore. He took it down. Lying all the things about all sorts of things they were saying that was not true. Things like, he gives so much money to Brown and Nance. And brother Gary, he didn't use my name, said there was this preacher in Singapore, you think that he's better than Brother Bram, or smarter than Brother Bram, took him away from me. I asked him, did I take it from him? Or did he tell you to call me to take him out because he won't talk to me? I don't know, Brother Nice. You see how people use what to their own advantage. That's a twisted mind. Setting up a trap to trap. See how that they might entangle him in his talk. But when they sit down with me, they don't open their mouth. Why don't they open their mouth? Because you see, error will never triumph over the truth. My message today is the triumph of truth. Truth will always prevail. Truth will always stand. And that's what God told me back then, when I left the denomination. When I saw all this mess, I think it was 75 or 74, the Lord says, I raise you up for the standard, to raise a standard in this part of the world. As people say, what good thing comes out of little Singapore? The little red dot. And the president of Indonesia used to call it back then, the little red dot. I send out the truth. And people need to hear. People cross my path. I don't know them. I don't know Brother Pierre. I don't know Brother Nice. I don't try to proselyte people. I only preach the truth, and the truth will always prevail. That's how Brother Nice came across and found out. And God dealt with him. And God had to show me a vision. If you read this testament. Brother Pierre even.
when he came here.
And even last few days ago, Sister Grady said something which I don't want to tell you what she said about me. But the Lord showed her. You know, when we look at the Bible, the thing that happened in days of Christ and happened back in those days, they're happening today. Exactly. So now that is the plot. Then when the Pharisees in and they took counsel how they might entangle him. And these were the people whom Christ silenced them in the argument. And they felt embarrassed now. Remember back in those days, I think when we were having fellowship with Brother Jimmy's home, a man by the name of Pat Pasadley came with a brother from Canada. That Pasadley was from the States. Came and, well, I was introducing him back those years. I thought he was a nice brother. Yeah, brother, again, how are you? How are you? How are you? Oh, wonderful brother, 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 brother. When he left here, he told me he's going to India. I said, oh, where are you going? Bangalore. I said, okay. You're going to Bangalore. Who are you going to see? Oh, this brother. Oh, he's the one that he's organizing a convention for me to go next few weeks. Can you take this letter for him? Okay, brother, yeah. What happened in India? He went there and called up the pastor. And he gave him a lecture about Brother Gunn. Yes. Don't organize for him a convention. He's not preaching the message. I'm here today. Where is he? I'm still preaching the message of God's word. Where is he? How many preachers are not around that I knew, even personally? Huh? Just imagine that. And he gets that, there was a young brother who happened to be there with the pastor. When he heard this man preach like that, talk to him like that, destroy my book and things, whatever he would say. It was in the night. He took a train to the village to tell Brother Amar Sami, an elderly man who is a warrior for the word of God, who has also already some heart problem. When he heard that, he was so upset because that pastor was a young man whom he had been trying to, you know, what we call, raise him up to be a real disciple of the word. And he couldn't hearken to these two Caucasians. He took a train in the middle of the night, went to the hotel, banged on the door, went on there and asked them, why do you do this? Oh, but Brigham's books are all nonsense. They are full of errors. And he took it. And this brother told me, this pastor told me, he said that he took my book. And he threw it across the room onto a sofa. Oh, these are false. And the Indian pastor asked him, show me where. Just show me where. So all of us. You know why he's supposed to come back here? The man died for Sally. But he bypassed. He went home. Except Canadian man. He was home. He didn't do anything. He kept quiet. Then I realized something was wrong. It was later when I went to India for the convention, I found what happened. Why? Why are people like that? They think they know something. What are these Pharisees and Sadducees? Why they do what they did to Jesus Christ? Because why? They love darkness rather than light. When the light came, their eyes were blind to it. And they do not want it. They have to fight it. Yes. Oh my. See the word that they took counsel. And they were very great people, these Pharisees. They all like to block the truth from the people. While they were plotting all this, Jesus Christ was in tune with God the Father to receive wisdom how to deal with these things. He always knew. That's the reason why, you know, when Jesus Christ, when he went up there, he was baptized and went up there fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Before he began his ministry. You know why he did that? Any man will bow, any man will call up God, who really are called of God, see this. You need to go out there and fast. And listen and learn from God. And understand what God is saying. Just went out there. He learned, as the Bible said, he learned from a young, when as a child. He grew in wisdom. Spent a lot of time in the Word of God. That's why I want your brother and sister to spend time with the Word of God. You can never grow up if you don't spend time with the Word of God. See? And that's why Jesus got the wisdom. Next verse. Verse 16. The first part, and they sent out unto him their disciple with the Herodians. With the Herodians. Now these Pharisees, this great guy, don't want to go to face Jesus Christ. So they send a junior. Well, I think that's a bad thing. That's cowardice. You know, in the army, you read the Old Testament, when you fight a war, the king of Israel, the king of David, King David, right? All these kings, they will go out and fight. They didn't stand behind and say, hey, you junior, private, lance corporal, sergeant, go out and fight. That's not the right thing, huh? I think that's where the fighting of war is not right. The captain, the leader should always be in front. And lead. Not stand behind. You little guys go first. So these were these Pharisees, they were sending their disciples, you know, to go with the Herodians. Who are the Herodians? Huh? Think about this, huh? The Pharisees, I said, they were religious people. They were the, God-fearing people, so to speak. The Herodians, what they call Herodians? Herodians, because they were disciples of people who politically they lift up Herod. And who is Herod? And who was he? Herod, at that time, was the king of that place, so to speak. And he loved jewelry. He loved the people, the Jew, the temple, the architecture. That's why he put money or gold to help them construct, reconstruct, refurbish, renovate, make the whole temple so beautiful, right? With gold. Well, he's an architect. He loved it. That's what Jesus Christ was telling the disciple when he talked about beautiful temple. Jesus Christ said, don't look upon this, because one day there will be not one stone above another. Why? Because they all lay with gold in between, even between the block. They would pick up every stone together, every little ounce or grams of gold. The whole temple would be completely destroyed, demolished. Just how beautiful the Herod temple was. And Herod just loved the Jew in this way. And this Herod here was just, leave him up. So just think about it. You have religion, one side, mixed with politics, the other side, and gang up. Why would a Jew have anything to do with Herod's people? They're politically inclined. Well, you know why? Well, because they already think of plan in their mind how to entangle Jesus Christ with words. So now they bring up all the religious and bring and also together with the religious, the politician, so to speak. More or less. Now, in Singapore here, I think I'm not sure about Malaysia or many other countries. You cannot mix religion with politics. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Look in Iran, in the paper today. The woman that protests, they do not want to wear the, what is that? The scarf over the head, what do you call that? Hijab.
What are they forcing the woman to wear hijab? After all, supposed to be, people have the freedom. What do you force people to become a vegan if he loves beef or pork? You don't force people to do that. That's why the Bible is never forcing people. It's a whosoever will come and choose you this day, right? You want to really be healthy? Follow the dietary law of Moses. And that's what the Seventh-day Adventists are following it. That's why they're healthy people. But God never asked you to follow them. If you want to eat prawns or crab every day, go ahead, eat it. And then you become crabby and die quicker than anybody else. The Bible tells us to be moderate. Isn't it? So now, here these are young disciples. They were well schooled, so to speak, by these Pharisees. And I wonder about this Barnabas too, this preacher. They speak in such a way, there are a lot of believers in this congregation that believe. They believe. Barnabas never make mistakes. Say exactly what the text say. And so on and so forth. Yes. Now, so this group of religious and military, political men went forth to Jesus Christ. But you must remember that the Pharisees and the Herodians, they are bitter enemies. But when you come to common enemies, hey, let's gang up. And look at our issue. The Sadducees and Pharisees are two different groups also. One believe in the resurrection, the other one do not believe in the resurrection. And I don't know what you want to believe. You don't believe in the resurrection. What do you want to believe for what? Why do you have a religion if you don't believe in the resurrection? You die means nothing. Then what do you worship God for? If you die, don't become like dust, then nothing else comes. We've got funny people with a funny religion, you know. Yeah, peacock is a god. A cobra is a god. A cow is a god. What else do you have? An image of stone and wood is a god. A picture you paint, you worship as a god. Right? Up to there, of course, the greenback is a god. You know the greenback? The green dollar bill? Americans call it the greenback. Which side of it is green? It's God. So you have this. Two groups that are bitter enemies, but they come to a common enemy. They can hang up. And it does the same. In anti-magic, there are so many fractions. A two-soul group, polygamous group, huh? And others. Yet, when you come to a common enemy, you can gang together and hit up at a common enemy. Not that the enemy is Satan, but somebody physical, like Jesus, for example, in his days. Alright, now, verse 16, the second part says, And they said unto him, their disciple with the Herodian, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the word of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Hey! They know that's true, right? But this is sweet talk, huh? They try to butter Jesus Christ. No? You know, buttering him up, put some sugar caramel on him so that, you know, Jesus feels good. Jesus is not taken by all this praise of him. Huh? No, he's not taken by this. He doesn't care whether you believe or you don't believe the way that you approach him. By your attitude, in front of buttering him up. Like I said, many people call me brother again, and behind me they call me a devil. And I always tell them, I say, you have a brother for a devil. Or a devil for a brother, sorry. Why? If I'm a devil, call me a devil from the beginning, but don't come and say, oh, brother again. Hmm. Like the other week, a few weeks ago, when this brother from India had a problem now. He has been many years in the message. And now he left the message, he started attacking Brother Branham. And yet he approached me in such a way. Don't tell anybody. But then there was a motive behind it. Then now he called me. Brother God, I believe you are the man of God. Why you call me a man of God? When I try to show you the tree, you won't listen to it. Analyze the word, I'm telling you. Analyze or look at it carefully. Don't picky Brother Abraham's error. I mean, this very common in America, many followers, how many after the rapture, how many more weeks are there for the children of Israel? And a great percentage of them will tell you it's only 2.5 years left. That's an error. That's a serious error. Oh, but Brother Branham said so. Read what Brother Branham said carefully in the book of Daniel, Sunday of the week. Oh, but in the seal book it says it's 2.5 years left. Listen carefully to what he's saying. And understand why he said that. I have no problem understanding. You know, people ignore it. It happened to be 2 days ago. When I saw the letter in my folder of that brother, and I googled his name, tried to find him on the website, but couldn't find him. And happened to find a picture, or a JPEG picture, I believe it was JPEG or BMP. On a website called WMB. My articles are there too. The brother posted there. And it was a picture that he said when he talked to Brother Branham, met Brother Branham, and asked Brother Branham to explain to him about what happened after the rapture. And Brother Branham drew it on a napkin in the restaurant. And it was posted there. And it was 7 years left. You know, there's a problem with people who are trying to look at, 63, because the seal was opened, the Holy Spirit came, you know. Before that, 61, and Brother Branham preached about the 70th week of Daniel, of 64 purposes and things like that. Oh, there were tapake. Not counted, because that was before the seal was opened. So I told him many times, if that is true, throw away all his books and tapes before 63. Why? The Bible, I told this brother many times, take it how you hear, take it what you hear, because that's what Jesus said. And the Lord showed me about these two verses in the scriptures several years ago. That's why I warned the people. That's why you should listen to what the Spirit of God says. Take heed how you hear and what you are hearing. Because many in the hearing, they hear not. Means they do not understand. So, well, we know who you are, Master. And you teach us, and you teach the Word of God in truth. Is that true? Jesus did that, right? Right. They call him, you are true. You are truthful. Thou art true. Thou art truthful. You teach the Word of God. In truth, you don't care for any man. You don't regard any person a man. Oh, that is absolutely 100% correct. And Jesus knew who he was, and he knew that these people are trying to butter him up, to trap him. You know, there are people that can't on me and pack my back, it's over again, you're this and that, and hey, I know, thank you very much. Yeah, you praise me, you say all kinds of things, but take it to the thing that I teach you. Do you understand them? Well, now, let's see. When they are doing that, they are trying to destroy him, right? Okay, the first word here says they call him master. Correct, they use the word master, right? But is it really true that Jesus Christ was their master? Now think about it, huh? Brother again. Am I really your brother? When you call me brother, what sense are you calling brother? Because it's just a word. You know. Well, many times it's just a word, right? As Bob Graham said, he said, if the poor man may call him brother, I'll call him brother. Sure, isn't it? You know, I went to my travel agent, and he's a Sikh. You call me, hey, brother, come. You know, you call me brother. Huh? Yeah, of course, he's just a brother. All men are brother. I mean, that sense of old brother. Oh, yeah. But to him and me, we are not brother in his faith. And he's not my brother in my faith either. Now we say, yeah, okay, brother. Because we're all men, brother. So what are we using when you use the word brother? But when they call Jesus Christ master, ha! That's a big word. Now I want to ask you a question. When you call Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior, have you ever called him master? Jesus Christ is my master, my Lord, my Savior, my God. And yet he's my friend and my brother. Right. You know, last 2 weeks ago was about that brother who sent me all these questions and got all confused, and I wrote to him and all that thing when I wrote and replied and I sent it out to others on my email list. And you know, here came a man who wrote back to me and said, you are very disrespectful to call the prophet Branham. He never even addressed him as Brother Branham. So very disrespectful. So he started fighting. I wrote back to him and said, if Brother Branham was alive, and I talked to him, I said, I will call him Brother Branham. And if we were to sit and talk and discuss, I can use the word Brother Branham. Said this, Brother Branham said that. But when I put into text, I don't have to. I said, let me ask you a question. Look into the book of Luke. Look into the book of Acts. Luke, the physician, right? You know he's a physician. He said, when he recorded the book of Acts, he could read it there. He mentioned Peter and John. I said, why did he not call? I said, he must be very disrespectful to Peter and John. For they were apostles. Why did he not say, Brother Peter and Brother John? Huh? I said, the same thing with Moses. When he recorded in the book of Genesis, he said about Abraham and Sarah. How come he never addressed them as Brother Abraham and Sister Sarah? I said, you don't be a hypocrite. Don't be religious, I told him. I'm very blunt. I give it down to them. Because I'm going to tell them the truth and wake them up. If they make me their enemy, yeah, we'll come to it. We're going to face fact. Hey, how many of us here? When we talk about Jesus, we just say Jesus. Do we say Lord Jesus all the time? Do you know Jesus? Jesus bless me today. You never even say, the Lord Jesus bless me today. You just say the word Jesus. Right? Is it not true? Does it mean that we are disrespectful to our Lord? Are we? The Bible used the word Jesus, right? When he was come, right? Is it not true? Brother, there'll be a whole lot of brother in the Bible already. Brother Abraham, brother Ezekiel, brother. Brother Luke, brother this. Come on. You see this bunch of hypocrites? Exactly. They seek to find fault. Not truth. Because when I wrote those replies to the brother, I'm speaking the truth. I was speaking the truth and they knew it. The triumph of truth. Truth will always prevail. Master. Oh yeah, master. You know, this is a word from Oswald Chambers. That was an old-time preacher back in the early not in hundreds, I think, and about this preacher. And this is what he said in one of his books. The truth that's used with bad intent beats any lie you can invent. Think about it, huh? The truth that's used with bad intent, means bad intention, beats any lie you can invent. Right? Oh, Master. Which is true, isn't it? But the whole of lying, and that because they don't really hold Jesus Christ as the Master. Just a word that come up from their mouth. They try to flatter him. Alright, so they use flattery as their bait. But Jesus Christ is not bewitched by these things. There are a lot of people are, and that we see over in South Africa. A preacher called Roscoe. End time message preacher. But what? He believed he's the one now after Brother Branham. And they will sing song about him. And he was in the pulpit. He will be, oh my goodness. He just enjoyed the people worshipping him. Oh, Elohim Roscoe. Oh, Elohim Roscoe. He's gone. In India, the man is dead. Glory, you know. Wow, he got such a miracle. They believe he was the Son of Man. Are there others in America too? Over there in South Africa, South America, San Diego, the man with the 10th vision, he built a big cathedral. So that's the full meal brought up by him, 10th vision. And he's the one now, he's the one now. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, there's no one now. There are five now. The fivefold ministry is a work. It's not a one-man show. But yet the fivefold ministry must bring back the authority of the apostles. It started with the church started with the apostle. It has to come back. The apostle ministry must come back and put everything right on the bottom, on the foundation. For people say, this is the way. Huh? But Abraham came and he pointed people back to the word and he collected some of these doctrines and this is what you must remember to stay on. Just like God told Joshua, what Moses had given you, hold to it, right? And I see you through. The thing that God gave Moses is not all of it. Because God is still moving. If Barbara had given Isaac all of it, we would still not be here. We just stay home. You know why? It's not of it, because God is still moving. The thing that God has revealed to us, Brother Abraham has not even seen it. And there are things that God has not shown Brother Abraham, we are going to see it.
Amen.
That's for sure. Peter, James, John, all those apostles or disciples of Jesus Christ, did they have everything? No. And God called Paul to come along. And Paul rebuked mysteries of the mysteries. And yet Paul did not have all of it. Because he didn't see what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. Huh? Even Brother himself said that. He called a man to preach. What he wanted a man to preach, he gave to him. What he doesn't want a man to preach, he gives to somebody else. That's right. And so Paul himself said, I preach in part. I prophesy in part. That's all. Everyone has a part. What kind of brand am I serious? Because they can't see it because they don't have the Bible in their hands in study. All they have is the books and quotes of Brother Abraham in their hands in study. And many people told me, I studied the message for how many years, but again, I read this book how many times? Big deal. Do you know this book? This is a book you should be studying. I have never listened to Brother Abraham's tape or sermon books, read that since this many years. Once in a while, I will take a book and read it. But I don't read it like people study it as if it's the answer, the one that will, the books that will take you into rapture. You want to be in a rapture? Walk with the Word. Walk with the Word. Oh, but the Word of God comes only to the prophet. Aha. Very good quote. That was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, how come the Word came to Paul? How come the Word came to Peter? How come the Word came to John? They were not prophets. Oh, but Brother Man said Paul was a prophet. Okay, Brother Man said that. It's a common word used in the early 20th century. Every preacher is called a prophet. You know that? When Pentecostal came in the early 20th century? No, they don't know. Of course they don't know. What do they know? Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what do they know? When they killed Jesus Christ, how come you can heal on a Sabbath? Do you know it's a Sabbath day? You cannot heal. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, when you have a cow, a heifer, or a sheep that fall into the dish, you set them up. You take them out. You rescue them. And here I'm healing a child of God, and you said that I can see. Oh, you eat without washing hands. They probably think that he must be a filthy man. I don't wash my hand every time I eat. I don't have to. Just because of what goes in the mouth comes out the other end. How about what comes up from the heart? Comes up from the mouth, comes out from your heart. And that wickedness is within inside. You need to examine yourself, you Pharisees. You need to examine yourself, you Branhamites. Wake up! No wonder people are so messed up that they got confused. All because of your false preachers out there. Preaching not the word of God, but about the man. No wonder denomination are saying there are a bunch of people that preach the gospel without Christ. Yeah, they preach the gospel all about Brother Branham. Oh, you know God sent a prophet? You know God sent a prophet? Oh my God. You know Jesus came when he preached, he wasn't preaching about John. You know that? He was preaching the word of God. He was not preaching about, oh, you know God sent a prophet? God sent a prophet? No. Only when they ask him, who was this man? When the disciples asked him, was he Elijah? And Jesus said, yeah, he was Elijah. He's already come. Right? But when they asked John, what did John say? No, I'm not Elijah. So now the Bible is a lie. Huh? John said he was not Elijah, but Jesus said he was. So who's telling the truth? Tell me. If you do not understand what John was referring to, if you don't understand what Jesus was referring to, then you know nothing. Then you know nothing. That's why the Bible is always a mystery. So now, let's go on. Go to verse 6:17 now. You know, the Pharisees, they can get very violent, you know. You understand that, right? They come out in a very sweet tongue and all this. They don't like it, they can turn violent. Even Brother Nye was telling me, just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So the people out there in Nigeria, because now there are many churches and believers, they saw after my books were being distributed, they read it, they began to understand. Oh, some of them past ministers, they turned angry. Yes. They call him and all, they can get very violent as it was before, years ago. When I noticed a brother who came from Nigeria, he went back. You know, they fight each other with stones. Oh my. Yes. Verse 17. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Oh. Tell us, therefore now you tell us, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Now they're trying to trap him, okay? Because the Herodian is there, they're politically inclined, they are supporting Herod. And there are Romans, supporters, by the tributes. And here are the Pharisees who only support the law. It seems thou art true. We know that thou art true. Now you therefore tell us. Well, they are forcing Jesus to tell the truth. Right? They are building a trap. And they hope that he will fall into it. There are a lot of people, they are very callous. You're falling to it, but not Christ. Because when you have the word of God, you have wisdom. Is it lawful to give? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Yes or no? Answer is just yes or no. No, say, just give us an answer, yes or no, right? If you say yes, you know how the Jewish people, they don't agree with paying tribute to Rome. If you say yes, the people will come against you. How? They come against Christ. They know it. That's why they are throwing all this trouble. And if she said no, then the Herodian will say, what? You know what I mean? Both ways, both answer, he's in trouble. That's when wisdom comes in. What did Jesus say? Show me, right? The coin. Let me just go to Matthew 11, verse 19. Regarding this friends of the a friend of publicans, so that you understand how the Jew dislike publicans. Okay? Matthew 11, 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he had the devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold a man, gluttonous and wine beaver, a friend of the publican and sinner. What wisdom is justified? But wisdom is justified of a children. That's what it is. John came without eating and drinking, and you, what do you say about John? He had a devil. And I came and I drink a little wine here with my friend, and I sat with the publican, and I talked to the harlots and the sinner. You had a devil too? But wisdom is justified of the children. You consider both of them carefully. If you have wisdom. What John did was not wrong. What Jesus did was not wrong. What about John chapter 8 verse 33? John chapter 8 verse 33. Why the question was raised? Whether is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? John chapter 8 verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say thou, you shall be made free? Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? We are never in bondage. You know. So now that's why they are trying to trap Jesus Christ. Because if you say, yeah, you must pay tribute to Caesar. That means to say that the Jew will consider that we are in bondage, right? They themselves be in bondage to Caesar. We are never in bondage. That's what they claim. So, yes or no? He's in danger. Alright. Luke 23, verse 2. Luke 23, verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So, where did they get this? They don't accuse him of that, right? That Jesus Christ said, don't give tribute to Caesar. But this is what Jesus said. So, when this question was posed to Jesus, is it lawful for us to pay tribute? See what Jesus answered, verse 18. Now Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt you me, you hypocrite? He knew all this going on. He knew that they were trying to trap him. Christ saw their true motives, their wickedness, their evil. Go to Psalm 55, verse 21. We want to see what the Bible describes about people who are conniving, who are not sincere. Psalms 55 verse 21. Hearing in this is the song of David regarding the mention of this, one of his counselor, an advisor, by the name of Ahithophel. or Aki, that is to pronounce it in Hebrew, Aki, Tophel. You know, he was David's most trusted advisor, but he turned treachery against David and joined Absalom, the son of David who tried to topple David. And it says here in verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His word was softer than oil, yet were they drawn sword. It was, you know, the description of the Pharisees as well, and the Herodians. Huh? And Jeremiah 9:8. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 8. Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit and speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he lay his way. Matthew 26:49. Matthew 26:49. And with forth he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Who was that? That's Judas. It's correct. See, all the sweet talk, "Hail, Master! Master!" The mouth is like butter, like olive oil, sweet fragrance, but the heart is a drawn sword. You know why people hate the truth? Because truth, you know, it's something that exposes their darkness, their sin. But people love darkness only than light. Okay, verse 19. Now Jesus asked them, "Show me the tribute money." Show me the tribute money. Never said just any money. Show me the tribute money. They have to pay a special sum. That particular coin is the sum of it. The tribute money. But Jesus said, "Show me the tribute money." So they have to take exactly that amount. Okay. Now, think about the wisdom of Christ. And he asked them, "Who is this image and superscription?" Look at the coin now. Whose image is this? Whose image is it? Caesar's, right? Right! Super inscription there. It's Rome. Caesar's. Right there. So, is it lawful to pay tax to Singapore? Take the dollar bill. $2, $3, whatever. Look at the image in there. Who is that? It's the head of the government. Right. So you pay your tax. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you give your tithes to the Lord, and I took a portion of it, I don't have to give. Because you already paid. Right. And what you give to the Lord belongs to the Lord. So the Lord don't have to pay tax to the government here. Because we are not an organization. You see. So in wisdom, you need to know how, what to do. And not be a dum-dum. So they identify the image of the man. What's the authority of Roman, of the Roman government, obviously. And the inscription that was there. Because Caesar's was reigning over them. Over them what? Caesar was not controlling them about their worship, but he's controlling them about their material wealth. Like every law in the country, whether you're rich or poor, you pay tax, right? The richer you are, you pay more tax, obviously. Correct? Because you have the luxury, the privilege, the own property, and things like that. And these tax are going to build up the nation, help the poor part of it as well. Society. That's what I like about the government here. You understand? Because you're socialism. And they say unto him, Caesar's. Every one of them said they. Not just one or two of them. They. All of them. Caesar's. Immediately they resounded. Well, they are so excited already, and the Jesus guy is going to fall into a trap. Paul's inscription is this: "Oh, Caesar's!" Now, when the jailers came next word, he said to them, "Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Whoops! Now then, they got themselves. It backfired. That trap backfired. Simple, right? You never say, "Well, yeah, you need to pay, render your tribute to Caesar." No. So whose inscription? You pay to Caesar what belongs to Peter. That belongs to Caesar's, right? Because you got the money that belongs to Caesar's. You give back to him what belongs to him. And what belongs to God, you give to God. They have no answer for that. Is that not true? Yeah. You know. But all this way, the tricks of the Pharisees, the leader did not approach Christ. They used these disciples, the young ones, who have already been taught how to parent. Because the leader said, "You know, when you go to Jesus, this is what you must say, right? You must say, whenever he says something, you must, this is what you must say." You know what I mean? "Oh yeah, it's the same like the parent of my parent. Paraman said this, Paraman said, you must say this right, exactly right." And people just parent. The same thing with denomination, religion are the same. Huh? As I said about China, about this discovery, about this documentary. Why did they believe in this nonsense about the gills of the manta ray will cure cancer? Huh? There must be a wise old man who so wise to trick the people to make money. And proliferate all this nonsense that cure the manta ray will cure cancer and people will follow. Yeah, through the name you do it. The denomination will do the same. Do this. Right? People will do. And you ask me to chant, they will chant. You know, they'll do that. And alright, I have seen religious people, when they pass by the temple, they will stop there, they will bow. Have you seen that? A shrine on the road, they will do the same. Yes. And a lightning strike, they will do some supernatural sign. Whatever action they have to do. But the lightning strike when the thunder sound, my little guy, Adam, will run to me. You see how people react religiously? Isn't it? The denomination will just follow. You know, each time I come here, I see people. Some the Christian comes over here to the other fellowship, over that side. I feel sorry for them. How they approach the God in worship. As I said, it's like a hipster church. 2 weeks ago, I preached on that. Huh? Hipster church. The church is anyhow you like. You can come to church wearing short pants, wearing slippers, wearing blue jeans and t-shirt, things goes better with Coke. And I tell them when in Philippines, I told them, I said, "You brother, when you come, don't wear a t-shirt. Things goes better with Coke." How many of you seen those, you don't see it now, right? It used to be, things goes better with Coke. Why you want to wear that to church with a t-shirt like that? Advertising for Coca-Cola. Why don't you wear a t-shirt? Christ alive! Make more sense. You go to church and you treat the church like a party or something. A social gathering, a club. It's not a club. There is a song I love very much. I used to hear those days. I can't remember how it says now. It says, "When you come here, this is not a recreation room. Huh? It's a battle. Not a, I can't remember whether Jimmy knows about it.
That's right.
This is not a recreation room. It's a battle. Not a party. The Bible, Paul says, judgment begins in the house of God. Either we get judged either by the word of God and line up with God, or we do anything we like. Disrespectful to God. Coming to church how we like, anyhow we like. That shows you don't fear God at all. Because when I said it was one thing, when you work for a company, you behave right. You go on church on time. And when you go and visit a president or somebody who has a VIP, you surely want to dress properly to see him. When you are invited to some event. And every Sunday, it's an event for us to come to the house of the Lord. You know, it's all about our habit, our thinking. And I always believe this. Get up in the morning, thank God for another day. And I talked about the fresh water last week for the new day. You go back to sleep at night, thank God for providing all we need for today. And pray for someone to Lord touch your heart to remember. So in closing, so these young disciples just parrot what she wants them to parrot. You know? So the coin, the image of the authority of Rome, but standing right before them, what image is that they are seeing? That's the image of God in Christ Jesus. That's the image of God in Christ Jesus. Did you recognize him? We know that thou art true, yeah, they can say, we know that thou art true. And then we know that you don't mix with anything else. We're talking about his word. The word of Jesus versus the word of man. Jesus does not mince his word. He does not mix his word with the words of man to butter people. Verse 22 now. When they heard these words, they marveled. That's number one. They marveled. Number two, they laughed him. Number three, they went back their own way. And the Bible is very clear on this, huh? They marveled. Wow. That's true, man. Right? They just turned and laughed him. And each of them went their way. The Herodians their way. The disciples of the Pharisees went their way. I know people tell me, brother, what you say is true. But what? But brother man said this. Okay, what else can I say? But do you understand what brother man is saying? Do you understand what Jesus is saying? So many other people, Jesus said many things they don't understand, right? Huh? Even the disciples scratched their head. What are you talking parables for? A sower went forth to sow, and this seed fell by the wayside. We all understand what the sower is all about. Really? But when Jesus began to talk about the seven parables in Matthew 13, they get stuck. Jesus asked him, do you understand? No, we don't. Then come sit down, let me explain to you. And after I explained the first and second one, now Jesus asked him, do you not understand? He said, now we understand. Because you know, if you don't understand the first, you will not be able to understand the rest. Because parables contain a mystery. So, the disciple went, and this is said, marvel now, and go your way. Repent at your leisure on judgment day. So either we marvel now at the word of Christ, and we pray to the Lord and ask him for grace and wisdom to give us understanding. Right? So that we will not have to be judged in the judgment day. Because now is the hour of our judgment. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father,
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, for the truth, Father. Give us wisdom, Father, to be like Christ. The Lord, when we ask a question, demands a trap. In all wisdom, Father, speak the truth wisely. And we ask that also, Lord, you give us the grace. The Lord, if thou have given us opportunity to be able to speak the gospel to our friends, neighbors, whoever stranger may be, they will cross paths and your spirit motivate us, Lord, to speak. Give us the courage to speak, Lord, and the wisdom to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the world is sick, and Father, we know we have not much time left. And we pray, Father, and hasten the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we cry out, Maranatha. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Feed your people now, Lord, and strengthen us in the days ahead. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.